Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
How's practice been this week, Chris?
It's been really good. You know, I think, you know, very energetic practices all week long. I think the boys, really responded to what we asked them to do. We went full pads practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, and the boys gave great effort both days, and just really trying to develop our offensive and defensive game plans so we can be successful on Friday night, and just really pleased with their effort this week.
You know, you talked about after the game last week that maybe you weren't going to hit in practice, but you really can't do that, can you? You have to do some hitting.
No, you can't do that with particularly facing an offense, that is split back veer and dive. You need to be physical. You need to get your hands to the target. You got to, get your head across. You got to tackle. You got to do those things. So we managed it a little bit. We tapered a little bit, but we went full pads on 2 days, and we hit for the majority of practice. But we did do a few plays that were more tempo, like what we call Thursday tempo, which was two steps full speed, step to contact, and just trying to keep everybody off the ground. A lot of injuries happen when players hit the ground. It's not so much player hitting player, but player hitting the ground. And we just try to be really efficient and sharp in that way. And, again, just happy with what we were able to get accomplished.
Capital City tonight, obviously a very improving team, maybe one of the big surprises in Central Missouri.
I think they're one of the most improved teams. When you look at them on film, what they were doing last year offensively, trying to run the spread, struggling a little bit. The split back veer and what they're doing, they got linemen that are firing off the ball. They got running backs who run hard and a quarterback that can read it and do it well. And he's a capable passer. So, they're a very dangerous offensive team. I think they've shown that throughout the year. Looking at kind of the key matchup on the night might be our defense and our ability to stop their run and what they're going to try to do to us in the run game.
They're averaging like 6.6 yards per carry. They got Hurley Jacobs, who big kid, runs hard, and then they got Jalen Thomas, who's kind of a more quick back.
Yeah.
You kind of get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, kind of a thunder lightning type of thing, the hard downhill and then speed. Both of them have good speed, and, we've got to make sure that we are, like I said, hands to target and make sure that we are assignment sound. And that's the really key to stopping option football. You've got to make sure you have a guy on the dive, a guy on the quarterback, a guy on the pitch. We've repped that all week, but we'll see how we do tonight when it's live.
How about defensively? What do you see in them?
Well, they're a base 3-4 defense. They play those defensive tackles more in the B gap, which is a good defensive scheme. We saw it years ago with Union because they really try to clog up the middle. They have really five defenders on the inside four gaps with the A gaps and B gaps. So it's really hard to run the ball in the middle. But we're going to have to be able to do some of that along with some perimeter run and just kind of mix it up and just run our offense. So we've had a good week. We've had a few changes in what we're doing. Trevor Cobb, our right tackle, is out this week, so we had moved a few pieces of the puzzle around, and we're going to give some young kids some shot up front, and hopefully they're going to do a good job and keep our quarterback upright, and we're going to be able to run the ball. And losing Corbin Fisher, he won't be starting tonight, won't be playing for the rest of the season. He tore his labrum in last week's game. That's a big loss for our offense. He was our most complete running back, so we're running back by committee tonight, and we'll we got some good young talent there and a little bit of experience with Brady Rush, and they've all had a good week of practice. They understand what we're trying to accomplish, and I know they're going to, play as hard as they possibly can.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches. Tom, I think this was one of those games where, you and I have maybe talked a little bit off air. I don't know. I can't remember what your prediction was last week, but I think, the 31 – the 31-20 to Rockbridge, the loss to Rockbridge, I don't know if it was necessarily a shock to a lot of people, but it's always notable when, a CMAC game goes wrong for the Crusaders because they hadn't lost one yet. So
yeah.
So how tough was that for the Crusaders to stop Mac last week?
I was surprised.
Okay.
Because, I thought that, they weren't exactly 100% healthy, but, they had the opportunity to come back and win the game, and it just – didn't execute when they needed to down the stretch. And, you know, that's something that we've seen Helias do in the past few years, is that, you know, when the chances were there, they went ahead and took advantage of them. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't happen last Friday night. You know, and then Rockbridge celebrated on the field. You know, I didn't mention much in the story, but they were quite happy that they, I think they snapped that winning streak. And so, you know, move on. They weren't going to go undefeated in the CMAC forever.
Right.
That really would be a mathematical impossibility. So, you know, you move on it and you realize, okay, the next game up.
And I think it's one of those things where I don't think anybody's panicking yet, and I don't think that it's the sort of thing where you go, oh my gosh, this is time to get too crazy. But it is. I mean, it's two losses in a row now for the Crusaders. I mean, it drops them to 3-2 overall, 2-1 in the CMAC. So it's kind of, you know, not necessarily unfamiliar territory. This happens sometimes, but I think 3-2 is maybe not what a lot of people maybe thought might be where Helias might be at this point in the season.
Yeah, first time they've lost consecutive games since they lost their last three in the regular season in 2018.
Okay.
Which I think was Chris's first year back as head coach. So, you know, I mean, this is rare.
Yeah.
You know, this, nobody on this team is, you know, the players have been through this before.
Right.
And so, you know, it's difficult to say exactly, you know, what they can do to get out of this funk, because they are in a funk right now. There's no doubt about it. You know, Ritter was obviously physically talented.
Sure.
And physically, you know, played a very physical game in beating them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Rockbridge was Rockbridge. You know,
right.
they had every opportunity to win that game last week and just didn't do it.
I was gonna say, you mentioned they're in the funk. Is there a funkiest part of the funk? What's maybe the one thing from those two games that you can make? Is there a common thread where you go, okay, it's clearly been this now that we have two games? Or was it just each game had its own little separate things that then, on its own merit, that's why you lost?
I think I'm going to throw out Carter Ritter because, again, they were just talented. But Rockbridge was like somebody needed to make a big play.
Okay.
And it just never happened. You know, they need something good to happen.
Sure.
And I think the confidence will come back. I don't know if they're a very confident football team right now.
Okay.
In a lot of positions. And
I was going to say, that's not something you can just kind of scheme up. You know,
no.
That's something that's based on intangibles. So that's going to be not an easy fix by any means.
No, and I think, you know, the best thing that could happen for the Crusaders would be to come out and play really well really early and kind of get that confidence back and get on a roll tonight. But, you know, we don't know that can happen.
Exactly. So 7:00 tonight at Capital City. It's one of those things where in the early part of the schedule, or maybe at the beginning of the season, we look at it and go, you know, hey, that's a game where you're kind of penciling in maybe a W at that point in the season. Well, now we're five games into the season, and Capital City comes in 4-1 and 3-1 in the CMAC right now. So this is a different game that in complexion than it was even 2, 3, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, Capital City, the most surprising team, I think, in mid-Missouri. All apologies to Russellville, but to come out and get the wins against who they played, you know, from where they were last year to mm-hmm. where they've gone to this year is just monumental in the league, you know. And, you know, this is a football game. This is going to be a football game tonight. You know, the days, I think, of you know, penciling Capital City perhaps for a running clock or getting close to it are gone.
Right. It's a Capital City team where the Cavaliers are coming off their probably biggest win in program history, beating Jefferson City last week 28-7. So now they're looking for their next biggest win in program history, because this is another one where I think there's a lot of importance that goes into this one. So I'm sure this is a game where they're coming into this game riding high and things are going well for them right now. So Helias had better be ready from the moment the kickoff starts.
You know, we talked about Helias, or I did, talk about Helias, you know, confidence level. I don't know. Well, Capital City's got to come into this game 100% confident that they can do whatever they want offensively, and their best is try to slow you down defensively, because they've done it all year.
Yeah.
You know, the only loss is overtime to Rockbridge and Columbia. You know, it's a very confident team, I think, Helias is going to play tonight, and Helias has got to match that intensity, especially early, you know, just to try to stay in it, maybe.
And you mentioned that Rockbridge game, and you don't necessarily always like to compare scores, but that was a game that, yes, Capital City lost to Rockbridge as well, but it was also a game where Capital City led 21-3. So that, you know, a couple plays here or there in that game could have made that one a completely different result. So maybe Capital City could have come in undefeated in this one. So it's just, you know, it's again where there's a lot of things pointing to this one where you go, okay, if you're a Helias fan, don't come into this one just thinking, you know, that this one is going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination, because I think the Cavaliers have proven proven game after game after game that not only are they better than we thought, but they're also improving as things go along.
Yeah, you know, the schedule, I think their schedule is getting a little more difficult, and they're doing pretty well against it. So, you know, the option offense has been tough for teams to stop.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be something for Elias tonight. I think that is the key to the game tonight. What can Elias do against that option offense?
Well, thanks for stealing my next question.
Thanks, you're welcome.
It's almost like you are reading my mind. But, it doesn't come just down just as simple as if there's a key in this game or what the game completely hinges on, it's going to be the Elias defense's ability to slow down the Capital City.
Yeah, Chris brought it up on his own. He said, that's the key matchup. What can we do against that offense? He said, you know, we've seen option teams before. You know, we played Webb City in the past, with our forefront. And so we've worked on with those four guys up front and then the backers to try to say, hey, assignment football, do this, do this, do this. But he said, you know, it's one thing to do it in practice, and he thinks they've done well in practice, but it's another thing to come out and do it in a game.
And when you get to games like this where, you know, you feel like there's, you know, could come down to intangibles or could come down to this matchup or this matchup, you always want to be healthy going into those games. Well, it doesn't sound like the Crusaders are necessarily all that healthy at this point in the season.
No, you know, they lost their one of their leading receivers, Matthew Malmstrom, got hurt against Cardinal Ritter and is out for the year. Then, you know, late in the Rockbridge game, Corbin Fisher, leading rusher, went out with a shoulder injury, is now basically going to be out for the year as well. And, also played linebacker. And then Trevor Cobb, starting offensive lineman and in the rotation on defense on the line, is out for a couple of weeks with an injury too. So they're missing some key parts. And, you know, they need kids to come in and step up.
And that's one thing I think in the past that we've noticed with Elias, where one, I think they've done a fairly good job in recent memory of maybe not getting key injuries to key guys. But when it has happened or when it's been to key contributors, it seems like the next man up has always done ably and performed ably in response to that. Maybe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is this a situation where maybe this is a year where the twos aren't as close to the ones as they have been in the past? Or is this just one of those things where we got to give those twos time to get their feet underneath them and see if they can develop into the ones that they need to be?
Well, I'll start with the receivers. I think the receivers played fine last week.
Okay.
You know, and you know, filling in for Momsen, doing whatever they could do to get it done. You know, I think they did okay. You know, now this week without Corbin Fisher running the ball, you're going to need, you know, Brady Rush and Mason French to kind of come in and get the tough yards. See, Corbin was good between the tackles and be able to get outside. Those two guys, you know, Rush and Mason French are kind of, you know, outside, you know, try to break it around the outside guys. And, you know, Hawaii's is going to have to try to get some yards up the middle. They just can't run outside because then it's just too obvious, you know,
right,
to make it tough. You know, and Chris said it's going to be tough to run inside against them, but we've got to try.
So we talked about the ability for Elias, you know, it's going to be important for them to slow down the Capital City offense. If Elias has to win a shootout or has to rely on its offense to put up more points in case they can't necessarily slow them down as much as they like to, how confident are you in their ability right now to be able to put up, a big number on the scoreboard?
Well, just finishing up my preview before we started this, Elias averaged a little more than 43 points a game in the first 3 weeks. They have scored a total of 34 in the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
That is trending in the wrong direction.
Right, right.
So, you know, the offense confidence is the key. Jump out, come and score the first maybe one or two times you've got the ball,
right,
and get that confidence going, because they were a confident offense there for, you know, 3.5 games, I think, until, you know, the second half against Ritter when everything just kind of got shut down.
Right. And I think that's something that, you know, I've talked about people with at other levels or with other teams. It almost seems like sometimes that first series you get on offense in some football games is just almost kind of a foregone conclusion that, we're probably not going to be on operating all cylinders, so it's kind of a giveaway possession. I don't feel like this is a game in which anybody wants to give away any possessions, where it's like, if you get the ball first, don't just say, well, we can go 3-and-out on that one, because the game's still getting started. I don't think you can afford to do that. If Elias gets the opening kickoff, I got a feeling that maybe is the most important drive to maybe score on, as they may have all game long.
Yeah, you don't want any 3-and-outs, because, you know, Capital City is going to run the ball, and they're going to run clock.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they may not score, but they're going to run 6, 8, 10 plays, and they're going to run 5, 6, 7 minutes off the clock, and you have to be patient and realize that, hey, we're going to get the ball back eventually. But, patience on offense and being successful every time you have the ball is going to be the key.
Yeah. All right, I guess I'll just get it done to that point where who wins tonight and what do you think the score is?
I don't know. How's that for an answer?
Good. Honesty. I like it.
Yeah. I think Helias is going to find a way tonight. They've taken pride that, you know, they've won the city championship the last 2 years. And the C-Mac is more than likely out of reach now after losing to Rockbridge. You know, the city championship is something that they can still do this year. And I think that's big to them. Okay. So I'm going to say Helias 31-20.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune. And get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.